Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Today, we are continuing our study of 1 Corinthians, Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we are actually going through, as we go through this passage, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are a great reminder of how to see our spiritual gifts in its proper perspective. How to see spiritual gifts in their proper perspective, right? Chapter 12, we saw that there are all kinds of spiritual gifts. But they all have the same purpose, which is what? To love. The purpose of the spiritual gift is that they are tools that help us to deliver love to the body of Christ. Now in chapter 13, we're seeing more. We're seeing that more than the spiritual gift, love is the ultimate goal. So the reason we use our spiritual gifts is to fulfill the main purpose, which is to love our brothers and sisters and how we serve them through our use of these gifts that God gave us to literally do just that. When we don't use the spiritual gift for the purpose with which it was intended, when we don't use spiritual gifts to love, even if we use them to the fullest and most complete state, If they don't do what they were designed to do, they're not worth that much. But when we do use them to love our brothers and sisters, they are an amazing, powerful, wonderful tool. So that's why you and I should want to pursue spiritual gifts for the purpose of loving our brothers and sisters. Oh God, please help me to love my brothers and sisters more. How can I do that better? Lord, give me a way to love my brothers and sisters more. And so God, that's why we pursue those spiritual gifts as tools. Oh, I want this tool to be able to serve my brothers and sisters. That is the goal. And we saw last week how amazing that goal is, how amazing love is. Love is worth pursuing in all the different ways that love is displayed in our lives. Ultimately, love reflects Jesus. The only way we can display love in that way is if Jesus is in us. And He fills our hearts with love and lets it flow out into the lives of others. So that's what we looked at last week and the couple of weeks before. Now we're going to see another aspect of how our spiritual gifts should be seen in perspective of love. How is a good way to see our spiritual gifts? He's going to show us another reason that love is the main thing to pursue in comparison to the two things. So today's passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 8 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. Verse 8 says this, "Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Here's the thing about love. Love doesn't end. It doesn't end. It goes on forever. And this aspect of love is really, really important. Think about how Jesus often tells His disciples and those who are listening to Him, guys, listen, look for and pursue and live for things that last forever. Don't settle for the temporary. He says this all kinds of ways. He says, listen, the treasures, when you pursue treasures, search for things that last forever. Don't settle for the temporary. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. Don't store up treasures here on earth because they're going to pass away. They're temporary. And he tells us to do so in all kinds of ways. Look for the pleasures that last forever. Don't settle for temporary, earthly, fleshly pleasures. Rather, live for the pleasure and the joy that will never, ever end. And he says this in the same aspect. Paul uses that same concept to say, listen, this applies to how we see spiritual gifts and how we see love. Don't settle for the spiritual gifts. There's more to be had in the eternity. Spiritual gifts in comparison to love. So to help us understand this, he takes three spiritual gifts. And we see him here. Prophecies, tongues, and knowledge. Prophecies, tongues, and knowledge. Paul says that one day these three gifts will end. They will not last forever. Why? Why won't they last forever? There will come a point where these tools will no longer be needed to deliver love. Think about tools and their usefulness. Do you have something laying around in the house that you've stopped using because you don't need it anymore? I've got some things. I brought some. Here's one. An hourglass. You know, I really like my hourglass. I've gotten a lot of use out of it, but lately I've gotten a watch. And now the hourglass doesn't get used nearly as much as it used to. You're not talking about tools that have outlasted their purpose. I got another one. A videotape. When's the last time you've used a videotape? I had to look hard for this. I was like, but man, I thought for sure we had a videotape somewhere, or cassette tapes, right? Things that are like floppy disks. Remember, when's the last time you've used a floppy disk? Or how about a phone booth? You remember phone booths? They were useful, they were important, and there are actually times when you still do occasionally need them, when your phone dies or when you're out of an internet area, right? But a lot of times these things are we stop using them because they have come to a point where we don't need them anymore to accomplish a certain task. Do you remember Encyclopedia Britannica? Do you remember paper maps? I remember them. I remember driving all across America with that Rand McNally Atlas that's like big enough to be your sun visor. Remember that thing? That thing was huge. But we don't need it anymore. We don't use it anymore. Paul is kind of saying the same context. Listen, guys, eventually there's going to come a point where these spiritual gifts will not be needed to accomplish the thing that they help us to accomplish now. They help us to accomplish these things, but there will be a time, there are still times that they are useful, but there will be a point where they don't need to be used in the way that they once were. Paul is saying that these three spiritual tools are like that. Love lasts forever. Love lasts forever. But some tools that are used to deliver love are not designed to last forever. So one question that pops up is, when? When? When do they end? We're going to look at this question. But as we look at this question, I want you to remember something very important about this passage. The main point of this passage is not when do these spiritual gifts end, but rather the main point is that spiritual gifts do not last, but love does. That's the main point. Don't forget the main point as we answer this second question of, as we answer this question of when do they end. The focus is on love. Love goes on forever. Now let's look at the question that Paul answers here. When do they end? Verse 9 and verse 10 help us to understand this answer. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Paul gives us the answer, when that which is perfect is come. Go back to verse 9 for a second, because verse 9 is really helpful. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Even at the time of using the gifts, they are done partially. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. Even now, there are limits to the gift of knowledge, limits to the gift of prophecy. In this life, there are limits to what we can know about the truths that God has revealed to us. Think about this. Paul and the other guys, were the apostles, were in a very amazing stage of life in history. God had chosen them to reveal mysteries that had been shrouded for centuries. And they were the ones that God chose to reveal these deep, never-ending, eternal mysteries concerning God's plan for humankind. Huge time. God chose them to reveal to us these things. And here's the amazing thing, is the things that God chose to reveal through these men are fully sufficient for us, even now. It's everything that we need to know, but it's not everything there is to know. There's a difference here. There are still things that God has not chosen to reveal yet. There are still amazing and wonderful things that we do not know about God and about us in the coming future yet, even now. Prophecies and knowledge, they are both in the partial stage. Right? That makes sense, doesn't it? But there's another stage that Paul says is going to come. And at that stage, Paul describes it. Verse 10, he says this, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. At that stage, the tools that were important in the partial stage are no longer necessary. We won't need them anymore. So the question is, when does that stage happen? When does that which is complete, that which is perfect, when does that stage come? There are two ways that people who study this passage and this aspect of life as followers of Jesus, two aspects that people who understand this complete or perfect stage. One way people understand this is that it's talking about when the Bible was completed, okay? During the time of the early church, that's what we were just talking about, the apostles and the prophets. During the time of the early church, the mysteries of God were in the process of being revealed through the use of these spiritual gifts, prophecy and knowledge. The churches who were in the different places did not have all of those truths revealed to them yet. And so the people who understand this recognize that maybe God uses prophecy and knowledge to help them in the filling of the gaps while Scripture, the full canon of Scripture, was being completed. Once God had revealed everything He wanted us to know, the partial stage ended and the complete stage had begun. There was no longer any need for these spiritual gifts. There are some really important aspects of this understanding that are actually really helpful for us to understand how life was like, and especially how these spiritual gifts were used. As we go through Scripture, especially towards the letters that were written towards the end of Paul's ministry, we see him speaking less and less of these specific spiritual gifts. He doesn't talk about them nearly as much. That doesn't necessarily mean that they were gone. He just talks about them less. So that's important to remember. There's another way to understand this passage as well, and I need to go over this too. Where the partial stage, this partial stage, this is talking about this life, and the completed, the perfect stage is talking about when we pass from this life and enter God's presence. The first way of thinking is, where the Bible was written, once the Bible is fully being written, the completed stage happens. And the other way of thinking is, this life is the partial stage where we don't know everything. The mysteries of God, the prophecies of God, tongues have been fully, especially considering prophecy and knowledge, that this part of this life is the partial stage, and the future stage is when we pass from this life and enter into the glory of God, the time when we see Jesus face to face. And I think verse 12 actually points us in that direction. Because if you look at verse 12, it says this, "For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." Now is like looking through a mirror. When Paul writes this, mirrors were written. Mirrors were made out of bronze. Remember, they'd hammer bronze, get it nice and smooth, but no matter how well you got that thing to look, it was still fuzzy, it was still blurry. You could get a glimpse of yourself, but it wasn't like looking at yourself face to face. Of course, that would be really hard, just looking at yourself face to face. But like how other people saw you face to face, it's really hard to get that, right? Mirrors didn't reflect crystal clear. You see the image, but it's blurry. It's a reflection of reality, but not the reality itself. It's kind of like how the Bible mentions in Colossians when talking of things of this life being a shadow of things to come. It's a reflection of the real thing, but not the real thing itself. And that's a lot like how our understanding is limited in seeing some of the things that God has already revealed. Think about this. You read through the Bible and God has revealed some amazing things of who we are now and who we will be. That doesn't mean we get it. There's a lot of stuff that we don't fully comprehend yet. There's a lot of things where it's like God has revealed this, but man, it sure looks like, you remember those little square blocks of glass? Where it's like this block of glass and it's like really thick. It's like that thick. And it's like you put it in there and you look through it and it's like all distorted and weird looking. There's something behind there. There's somebody behind there, but I can't really see or tell. I wish I could see it more clearly. And a lot of times there are parts of who we are as those who are in Christ, the parts of life that seem just like that. You wish, you know it's there. You see something behind it, but you wish you could see it just a little bit better. One day, we will not be limited like that. There will be no hazy blocks between us and Jesus. We will see Jesus just like He sees us, face to face. And at that point, the use of the gifts that helped us to understand the truths of God will no longer be needed because we have Jesus Himself. Because we have Jesus Himself. The things that we used to not understand will make perfect sense. There will be no physical hindering of our understanding. No physical, man, there's times when I was just like, you know, even when we read through, like when we do book studies, there's times when we're like reading through this passage and we're like, I don't get this. And then somebody says something, oh, okay. Now that makes sense. I have a feeling that's going to be a lot like how we're going to be when we see Jesus. A lot like the disciples when they were like, man, Jesus, okay, you remember what you just said there? Can you kind of give us a little bit of insight into what you just talked about? What did you mean by that? There's going to be a lot of that conversation when we get to heaven. Knowledge has been fully revealed and it is fully sufficient, but that doesn't mean it's everything. That doesn't mean that our physical limitations will hinder us from understanding it. But better yet, there is no sinful nature hindering our growth as ones who are made in the image of Jesus. This helps verse 11, the verse between these two verses, between verse 10 and 12, this helps verse 11 make a lot more sense too when you think about it. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. At the stage of children, the way we speak, and this is talking about infant children, very young toddler children. At that stage, the way we speak, the way we understand, the way that we apply things to our lives are done with a very limited understanding, right? Maybe Paul uses these three things to point back to the spiritual gifts. The way I spake as a child, talking about speaking in tongues. The way I understood, talking about knowledge. The way I thought and expressed myself is talking about prophecy. Even these helpful tools that help us to grow in the body of Christ, we understand that they are partial. But when that growth is fully complete, when we stand before our Heavenly Father, we will not things that we needed at the stage of childhood. I think 1 John 3:2 wraps it up beautifully. Here's what it says. Beloved, now are we the sons, the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I think that wraps this up very well in our understanding of this. Let me just pause to say this, though. This is what I think this passage is talking about. And as I studied this and I prayed over this throughout, not just this week, but many weeks before this, as I prayed about it, this is how the Holy Spirit has revealed this passage to me. Please understand that it's totally okay to disagree with me. I mean, there are a lot of people who have studied these passages a lot more than I have, or probably a lot more than you have, who have given their life to understanding this passage. And these same people love and follow Jesus and are living their lives being continually changed in the image of Jesus as they follow Him, who don't agree with this either. And that's okay. There's something much more important. You know what's interesting is we're going through 1 Corinthians 13, right? As we go through 1 Corinthians 14, there's probably going to be places in there that we may not agree with either. And that's totally okay. That's part of this. I think that's part of our understanding, our recognition that we don't know everything. It's sufficient, but it's not everything. And so we're going to go to heaven still with a few question marks. And that's okay to have those question marks. We can still love one another. We don't have to have it all figured out completely because we know that one day we get to see Jesus and have Him explain all of it to us. But here's the thing. This isn't the main point of the passage. Remember that. This isn't the main point of the passage. What's the main point? That as good as spiritual gifts are, there's something better to focus on. As good as those things are, whether they when and where they end, those are really interesting. But the most interesting thing is what we ought to be pursuing. And those things are things that last forever. Those things are important. There's something more important. We need to remember to keep the main thing, the main thing. And what is the main thing? Verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, listen guys, and now abideth. These are the things that last forever. This is where I want you to focus in on. This is what Paul's saying. Now, here are the things that last forever. Faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Three things that remain. He compares these with three things that won't last forever, the temporary. Now we see the three things that do last forever, faith, hope, and love. And this is where our focus ought to be. This is the center, the main focus, the central point of our walk with Jesus, because this will always be the center, the main focus of our walk with Jesus. Man, I tell you what, you read through Scripture, it's really interesting how you see these three these three aspects put always connected together. Faith, hope, charity. Faith, hope, charity. They're like three best friends, always together, always there with one another. They're like a combo, like, you know, burgers, fries, and a Coke. You know, faith, hope. I'm sorry, that's probably a wrong one to do, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Let's look at them. Faith. Faith, what is faith? Simply put, faith is trust, confidence, the trust or confidence that you have in someone or something. That's what it is. It's the trust or the confidence that you have in someone or something. In eternity, your faith, your trust, your confidence in your Father, your trust and confidence in Jesus won't stop. Faith won't stop just because sight has been applied to it. Let me explain it this way. You know that passage, we walk by faith and not by sight? It's an important passage. But the thing about that passage is, right now, we don't have sight. We walk by faith, trust, and confidence, even without the sight. But when sight comes, faith grows stronger. Your confidence in Him will grow stronger. Let me give you a brief example of where we see this in the lives of the disciples. 3 days after the cross, they saw Jesus resurrected from their dead, from the dead. This emboldened their trust and their confidence in who Jesus was. Them seeing Jesus resurrected made them boldly and confidently stand among anybody who would listen. He is the Messiah. We have seen Him. We have seen how He lived. We have seen Him die, and we have seen Him come to life again. And our faith, our confidence in who He is sure, steadfast, never changing. Faith becomes confidence through sight. Or that sight helps faith to become strong and confidence. That trust, that steadfast confidence will only grow stronger as we even more clearly see and know His love for us through how He cares for us and through how He gives us His grace. We walk by faith because we don't have sight now, because one, that sight is not ours to see yet. But when it is, oh, how amazing and wonderful that will be. When you see Jesus face to face, when you experience His grace in a way that's clearly visible, your trust will no longer have much doubt in it. It'll be steadfast, solid confidence in Christ. Faith. Hope. What is hope? Hope is the anticipation that comes with believing something good. Hope is the anticipation that comes with believing something good. It naturally flows out of faith. Faith produces hope. It's this peaceful assurance that what hasn't happened will happen. It's what is described in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, when it says this: looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In eternity, our hope in the goodness of God that comes beyond the next moment of eternity. Every moment of eternity, we're looking forward to, how is God going to display His goodness? How is God going to display His glory? Every bend in the time of eternity, as we see that happening, we're going to be more and more excited, more and more anticipating about the next turn in our eternity. Hope comes naturally. Our current hope will one day grow into, mature into, perfect into joyful confidence and expectation. Hope will always be a part of our eternity, and praise God for that. And finally, love. Love. The greatest of the three, because without love, there would be no faith, there would be no hope. Love is a core aspect of who God is. As love flows out of Him and into us, it allows us to know Him more clearly, because God is love. As we understand and as we experience His love, it helps us to know who our Heavenly Father is, but also as it flows out of us and into others, it allows us to reflect Him more clearly as well. Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also have love, that ye also love one another." Verse 34, 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." This is the way you reflect me. The better you do this, the clearer an image, the clearer a mirror you are. "Shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another." In eternity, we will never stop being loved by our Heavenly Father. We will never stop responding to that love. We will never stop loving Him back. Our confidence in Him will never stop. Our hope in our future with Him will never stop. And our love for Him and for one another will never, ever stop. So the question I ask for you today is this: where do you choose to set your focus? Where do you choose to set your focus? I suggest, and I hope and pray, that we as a church family focus on things that remain forever: faith, hope, and love. These three are worth giving ourselves to, growing in, because these things will be part of who we are, how we live forever and ever and ever. Focus on the eternal. Faith, hope, and especially love, because this is the forever things, the things that remain. Let's pray. Father, as we live life here on earth, there is, and on this earth there will more than likely always be questions. What about this? What about that? I know somebody thinks this way. I think this way. Which one of us is right, Father? Which one of us is right? Help us to keep the main thing the main thing. Help us to focus on the things that remain. While we recognize that our limited understanding keeps us from knowing these things, please keep it from preventing us from loving one another. Don't let those things hinder our love for one another, our faith in you, our trust and confidence in you, our hope in you. Help us to focus in on what we should be focused in on. And as we do that, help us to grow in reflecting you better. Holy Spirit, you do this in us. Help us to humble ourselves and be submissive to you as you show us things in our lives that we need to remove in order to give those around us a clearer picture of who our Savior is. Continue to mold us into the image of Jesus through these three things: faith, hope, and love. In Jesus' name, amen.